ask you to turn to John 15. Next Sunday, after the morning service, I will be meeting in room 132 with community group leaders, assistant leaders, wives. I said in the email 10 minutes, I'm going to say 20, because there was an addition of something we want to add on to that. Room 132, next week, need to meet with all of you, community group leaders, assistant leaders, wives. Room 132 next week, be very, very important, because of some things that we have coming up. Community groups do start today. Let me just say that if you are not involved in a community group, this is going to become more and more pronounced as we move through the series that I'm going to start in a couple weeks, that we would love to have you as part of a community group. Community groups meet throughout the community. Most of them are on Sunday afternoons. There is one on Wednesday. We're not opposed to doing another night. We just haven't had that yet. But we have room for folks to join some of the community groups. Some of them are full, but if you are interested in doing that, it would be very, very helpful. As I mentioned last week, we looked at Safe House. This morning, we are going to talk about Greenhouse. Again, these houses were as a result of collecting a lot of input from you. These are not things I came up with and I'm trying to sell you on. These are things that you came out with, and we are grouping together to help our congregation to grow. And Greenhouse is the next house that we want to talk about. Now, when you want a piece of fruit, you and I go to the grocery store to get that piece of fruit. We go to the fruit area, and we do whatever you do to see if the fruit's ripe or whatever. You knock on one, some of you knock on, some of you smell, you do all these things, and you get this piece of fruit and you go home. We're not that interested in the gross process of that. Now, we would be interested in maybe organic or, you know, pesticides or all that kind of stuff, but in terms of how it grows, we're not all that interested. There's another way to get a piece of fruit, and that's to grow it, to actually get a seed, to put it in a kind of soil, to water it, to make sure it gets enough sun, to prune it, and to do all of those things. And at the end of the day, you get this fruit. That is how the Bible wants you to understand your growth. Our Christian growth is not like going to the store and getting a cantaloupe or getting a banana. I want peace. Where can I find it? How do I get it? I want love. Where can I get that piece of fruit and implement that as a part of my life? Not how God wants us to understand this. John 15 gives us instruction that God wants us to be part of the growth process and understand how we grow. Now, let me just ask this question in simplicity. How do you grow as a Christian? Like, if we were having a small group, I would just pause and I would just get some answers to that. How do you grow as a Christian? If we're talking about human beings and you have a baby here and you go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, how is this baby going to grow?" It's more than a one-sentence answer. There's a lot of things that go into a baby's growth. There are, folks, a lot of things that go into a Christian's growth. Some of us that have been around for some time have an idea of how that happens, but most of us really don't understand the entire process. This morning, I'm not explaining the entire process. It's far too complex for that. I shouldn't say complex. There's too many pieces to it. We have a whole Bible, but I want to lay out for you some pieces, some general categories of how we grow. Now, we have an illustration that we've used in the past that talk about some markers along the way. We've called it the discipleship star. And this star has some checkpoints for a Christian's life as to where, what areas you should be growing in. So let me just go through them very, very quickly. The first thing is knowing Christ and making Christ known to others. Pretty big category, right? Second one, worshiping together on Sunday, but not just Sunday. We're teaching you to worship Monday through Saturday, and that includes practicing Sabbath rest, which was part of the initial creation. Number three, it's growing deeper in God's Word to love God and love others. Number four, serving the body of Christ and the local and global community. Number five, connecting in a small group. That's not just a programmatic thing. Jesus hasn't saved us to just be individual Christians working on ourselves. He saves us and He places us within a body, a group of people connecting in a small group. And number six, sacrificially giving. So those are some categories. Here are the simple pieces of that we put into one slide. Knowing, worshiping, growing, serving, connecting, giving. Now, that's sort of identifying pieces of fruit, right? It's kind of like saying watermelon, cantaloupe, banana, you know, strawberries, whatever. It's kind of like saying that. It doesn't tell us in that how we grow. I don't think any farmer who's growing cantaloupes or pineapples or whatever is hoping it turns out. He understands the growth process. A few years ago, we had a young man come and visit. He is from Singapore, and he was coming to the States because he was enrolled in a culinary institute in Singapore, world-renowned culinary institute. He came to the States because he was going to California to take an intensive on a particular piece of culinary art. And he had his books out. He stayed at our house for a couple days. He had his books out, and he was studying soils. And whatever I don't know if it was the mushrooms or whatever it was he was studying, I asked him, I said, hey, what are you looking at? What are you studying there? And he ended up talking back to me in terminology I'd never even heard before. Like, it was very complex, and it seemed to be very, very complicated. And I said, why are you studying all this? He said, in order to get this, whatever this mushroom or whatever it was he was getting, in order to get this, this soil has to be the right thing, and I have to understand all of the complexities of that soil. All right? You don't hope that stuff turns out. You don't hope a good meal lands on the table. Like, you are intentional about that. That's what we're intending to do, to help our congregation to be intentional about your own spiritual growth, which God desires for you. So, we're going to talk this morning about how we grow. Now, here's the first major category. John 15 is a great passage. There is no way we're going to squeeze all the juice out of this passage that's there. That's not the intent. The intent is to take a big picture of this passage. And here's the first thing. Growth begins. How do we grow? Growth begins by honoring the boundaries for growth. Growth begins by honoring the boundaries for growth. Now, I know we try to stay away from the word rule a lot, because it's like we're not rule-based, but folks, there are rules for life. And there are rules for growth. And there are rules in this passage. John chapter 15 and verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. When we were talking in our staff meeting this last week about the service order, Eric said, well, I've got this passage for our public reading. Should I keep it? And I said, yes. We usually have a different passage for the public reading. I told him to keep it because this passage has got so many things with it, it's very easy to miss some of those very serious things that Jesus is saying. So, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, seems very odd that he would start this way. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, I want you to just note initially, he doesn't even say what the fruit is. He's giving this teaching to his disciples. He doesn't say what the fruit is. He's giving an illustration. Now, Jesus was the greatest teacher, and he was pointing to stuff often. So undoubtedly, he's not giving this illustration like we're doing it today. He's taking them to a vineyard, and he's pointing to it. He's pointing to himself. He's delineating what each piece says. And then verse 3, he says this. He says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Jesus is using physical objects. Here's what he's saying. In a vineyard, there's a main vine. There's a main vine that's kept up. He is saying, "I am that vine." Jesus is that vine. God, in this illustration, is the one who cares for the entire vineyard. Now, I want you to notice, he doesn't say explicitly until verse 5 that they are the branches or that we are the branches. He doesn't say it explicitly. It's kind of implicit up to that point. The next thing is pretty shocking that he says. He says that God removes certain branches. Now, why does he say that right at the very, very beginning? It seems like that's a rough way to start a passage about fruit bearing. The first thing he says is, you know, there are some of you God's going to remove. Why is that? Let's look a little more closely at this. Because we grow by honoring the boundaries. And folks, there's no growth unless there's connection to Jesus. What is involved in that connection to Jesus? The branch with no fruit gets removed. No fruit removed. That's what he's saying. What would cause a branch to have no fruit? What would be the reason for that? Here's where a little bit of the complexity comes in. Verse 3 seems a little bit off. He's talking about fruit, and then all of a sudden he's talking about you being clean. Right? So what is he talking about there? Apparently what he's saying is that an unclean branch will have no fruit. And that branch will be removed. Now, let's take Jesus' illustration to who he's talking to. He's talking to a group of Jewish men. And these Jewish men would have well understood the process of going to the temple. This was something that Jewish men did all the time in a regular habit. And so when you come to the temple, the first thing you're going to get to are these ritual bathing pools outside of the temple. And these pools were there because you would descend down into the pool and put water on yourself. And that water was a symbol that you needed cleansing. And the cleansing wasn't just outward cleansing. The cleansing, as you went into the temple, there were sacrifices that were being given, blood sacrifices. And as you move further into the temple, that blood was applied to the Holy of Holies, meaning that something outside of yourself had to cleanse you. Now, they would have understood that illustration. So when Jesus is giving the illustration, he's saying, now I am the main vine. And God is the one who cares for this vineyard. And if these vines have no fruit, they are taken away. Why are they taken away? Because they're not real vines. They have no fruit because they're not clean. And they would have understood that to mean that you have to have the blood of that sacrifice applied to your life. That there had to be some kind of cleansing outside of your life in order for you to be attached to Jesus. A sacrificial death to appease the wrath of God. Now, he says, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken unto you. What does that mean? Well, let's look at one of the previous words Jesus spoke in the book of John, a very famous passage where he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How are we connected to Jesus? We are connected to Jesus through his sacrifice for us, and that applied to my life. That's how we are made clean. Now, what does it mean in the context of this passage? It means that some people appear to be grapevines. They can even exist alongside of the real vines. That's the image he's giving, is that you have Jesus, and then all of these vines hanging off of Jesus, some of them are real, and some of them are not. And you can tell by the fruit. And how do those people get attached to Jesus? They get attached to Jesus by being clean. How are you clean? You are clean through the sacrifice of Christ applied to your life. That's how you get connected. Jesus says that we grow when we're connected, but in order to be connected, you have to be clean. The guy at the temple who was going through the ritual bath on the outside knew that he wasn't cleansed on the inside. That was just a picture of what God wanted to do with his whole life. But it took a sacrifice in order for that to happen. Being connected to Jesus is not primarily about being good. It's not by being a registered Republican. It's not by buying pillows from the MyPillow guy. It's not by eating at Chick-fil-A. It's not by these certain outward trappings that can appear to be a certain way, a moral way. That's not how we get connected to Jesus. We get connected to Jesus by trusting the sacrifice that He made on the cross in Him alone. That's how we get connected to Jesus. He does not say, now are you clean because you've got your life in order. That's not what He says. If Jesus had said, you get your life in order, now you come to me, no one would come. He says that you are clean because you believe what He did on the cross for you. Now, my question is, are you honoring those boundaries? Are you honoring those boundaries? To be connected, you have to be clean. Why? Because you can't be clean enough on your own. You can clean up the outside, but you cannot clean up the inside. Only Jesus can do that. So we have to start here, folks. I think sometimes we're trying to encourage people to produce Christian fruit who are not Christians, and those vines are not connected to Him. So my question to you this morning is, are you connected to Jesus? You say, how do you get connected to Jesus? If you feel that tug and you're not sure how to be connected to Jesus, then when we close today, you simply need to ask Him to save you. Not from what you did last week, the bad things you did last week, but you need to ask Him to save you because you got a bad heart. Because you have this internal weakness that you can't fix on your own. No amount of religiosity can fix that. Only Jesus can fix that. And folks, this is the starting point. You know, encouraging people to be loving, encouraging people to be peaceful, encouraging people to do Christian things is only helpful to a point unless they're connected to Jesus. And so we need to make sure that we're connected to Jesus. Here's the second rule in this text. The branch with fruit gets pruned. How do we grow? We grow by pruning. Now, this is a very general statement because I kind of want to know what he's talking about there. So let's just give an illustration from the text itself. This is John 15. I think Josh Crompton mentioned this morning. He's only steps away in John 15 from going to the cross. So from John 15 to John 19, John 19 is when Jesus is hanging on the cross. Now, what happens to this group that he's talking to in John chapter 15? This group that he's talking to in John chapter 15, when he gets to the cross, they're gone. They all leave. Every single one of them leaves. So I'm going to define pruning this way for now. Pruning is challenging my assumptions and preconceived ideas about Jesus. Pruning is challenging my assumptions and preconceived ideas about Jesus. See, I got this idea about what Jesus can do for me. We all do. But when afflictions come, when trials come, it refines us in our own minds of what we expect of Him, of what we demand of Jesus. And they all left. And the purpose of this pruning is to invite me into greater union with Him. So let me ask you this question. Are you honoring these boundaries? Are you honoring these boundaries? If you're trying to be a vine, but you've never asked Jesus to save you, why not do that? Why not be connected to the vine? By the way, this is part of becoming a safe house, is that we're inviting people to do this, and it's a great place to do this. Now I want to move on to the rest of the passage. Point number two is we grow by remaining connected to Jesus. So we grow by honoring the boundaries. We understand that we need to be vitally connected to Him, but we grow by remaining connected to Jesus. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Now he's telling us how we grow. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. Now he says it explicitly. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him. Notice he said that twice now. This is a vital union. It's not just him saying things to you and you doing them. It's a vital communicating relationship that we have with him. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I have a question in the community group guide for this week. I'll just ask everybody here, what do you think he actually means by that? Because right now, some of you, you're going to get a coffee and cookie afterwards. You're going to go to the store. You're going to work your job. You're going to have your life. And you're like, what is he talking about? I'm doing something. Why is he saying I can do nothing? What does that actually mean? Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Man, is that a huge statement. I can't park on that, but that is a huge... The love that God has for Jesus, that's the love He has for you. That is amazing. He says, abide in my love. Don't leave that. Abide in that love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So, what does this mean? This means that remaining connected to Jesus is the vital component to growth. This is the vital component to growth. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because in the passage I just read, the word abide appears 10 times. It's the Greek word meno, to remain. That's what it means. Now, he's not defining exactly how that happens. He's just saying, if you want to grow, you have to remain vitally connected to Jesus. It sounds to me like this is not a passive activity. This is not passively something that just happens. Like, you have to think about this and remain connected to Him 10 times. It could not be more clear in verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So the only way you have to grow is by abiding in Jesus. Now let me just park right here and just ask, are you abiding in Jesus today? Now I'm asking you a question that you're maybe having a hard time answering, because you may say, well, I'm in church, aren't I? Well, being in church doesn't necessitate you're going to grow. Are you abiding in Jesus today? We're going to look at that over the next several weeks. We try to appear like we are fruitful people. We do. We want to be fruitful people. If we are not connecting, though, the text says, if we're not connecting to Jesus, we are withering. We are withering. Matthew 23 and verse 37, here's the fruit of withering. Outwardly, you are beautiful, inwardly, full of bones and uncleanness. Withering. Now, is it possible that a person who is vitally connected to Jesus can wither? Absolutely. Absolutely. At one point or another, we're all guilty of that. So the question is, are you vitally connected to Jesus today? We should be a safe house, by the way, to have space to be able to say, you know what, I'm withering. That's kind of testimony Nate gave today. I'm withering. I'm withering. I got some dead bones. Here's how God's working in my life in that. By the way, that testimony He gives, that won't be the last time that happens in His life. So it's not like once and done. It's like you have this rough patch and then it's just everything's good from that point on. Many times this happens in our lives. The word abiding, let's just confess, is a little vague. Right? What does that actually mean, to abide? Well, He does get a little specific here in verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The words of Jesus in me are the fundamental component to abiding. So being connected and remaining connected to Jesus, is it possible that a Christian can slip away, can become cold and start to wither? Absolutely. How do you remain connected to Jesus? Here's the first step, that His words abide in you. Now, I just want to point out, after He says this in verse 7, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, a lot starts rolling out from there. It says in verse 7 that we pray. We know answer to prayer. It says in verse 8 that we honor God. It says we know and live in God's love in verse 9. In verse 10, we obey God out of love. In verse 11, we have true joy. There's a lot of stuff that starts to roll out for healthy fruit. So He's showing us that it's vital to remain connected to Jesus, and it's vital that we get the words of Jesus in us. How do we grow? We remain connected to Jesus. How do we remain connected to Jesus? We believe, ingest, digest, and live off of His words. Now, I want Jesus to say things like this. I want Jesus to say things like, if you're going to abide in Me, you need to go to church, you need to read your Bible, you need to be nice to people, you need to hold down a good job. You know, I want Jesus to give me a big list with that, but He doesn't give us a big list. He gives us sort of a main thing and then some ramifications of that. And then He gives us the effect. The effect is in verse 11. So you can know that you're abiding in His words by these other things growing in your life, but here is the ultimate effect in verse 11. He said, I said all of this that My joy would be in you. And then in verse 12, He quickly transitions. If His joy is in you, then it's going to shoot out to other people in loving them. So what is the ultimate fruit that is produced? When you bite in to the fruit that's produced in a Christian's life, ultimately it will taste like joy and love. And that's what God is producing in you. Not just some sort of cosmic joy, but it is the joy of Jesus that He's putting within you. The life-giving juice of our connection to Jesus is praying from the rich nutrients of God's Word. This is the vital connection that's going back and forth. This is the fundamental connection to abiding. Now, I know I haven't explained this entire passage. Let me ask you two questions, though. How long in the course of a person's life do they need to abide in Jesus? How much of a person's life, when they come to Christ, do they need to abide in Jesus? Is it like the first 5 years because they're baby Christians then? Is it 30 years? I think we would all say it's the entirety of their lives. So folks, there is never a time in your life where abiding isn't as necessary. Older people in here who have been Christians for a very long time are just as in need of intentionally giving effort to abiding in Jesus and making sure that His words abide in them. Here's the second question. How do you plan to abide in Jesus this year? I'm asking you as a congregation, how do you plan to abide in Jesus this year? What is your plan to do that? Now, I've just asked you a big question, and I'm going to give you an answer to help you with that. Beginning on January 29th, after I am done with the house sermons, I'm going to preach 3 months on this subject. We're going to take 3 months in church and we're going to focus on the greenhouse. Here's how much we're focusing on the greenhouse. The sermons that I preach in church are going to directly shoot into the small groups. There's actually a booklet that's going to go along with this that you're going to use in your small groups. I'm going to talk next week to community group leaders about it. I'm giving you the framework. I'm giving you the trellis, so to speak, for the vine to grow on. All right? And for the first time here, in my whole time here, we're taking a period of time here in the winter and spring, and we're focusing on how does a Christian grow, so that you know, like at the end of this series, you know this is how Christians grow. This is how I should be growing. This is how I should be helping other people to grow. Because this is key, folks. It's how we honor God. That's in the text. It's how we glorify God. And yet many of us are not really sure how we're growing. We're just hoping it happens. What part of the grape is connected to the vine? So you got this vine, you got these vines shooting off, and then you have these grapes. What part of that grape is connected to the vine? The whole thing. The whole grape, the outer skin, the inner juice, the juice itself, the whole thing is connected to the vine. What part of your life needs to be connected to Jesus? The whole thing. Mentally, spiritually, physically, relationally, emotionally, all of it, the entire part of it, is connected to Jesus. And so we as a church want to grow in all of those areas of our lives. Not just looking at the spiritual, though that is very important. Jesus died for the spiritual part of us. He died for the whole of our lives. We will live bodily with Him for all of eternity. And so we want to grow. My challenge to you is this. How are you going to grow? Will you give attention to the intentionality of being connected to Jesus? Will you buckle down and say, you know what, for these 3 months, I'm going to work on this in my life so that I am producing the right kind of Christian fruit in my life that honors God and stays connected to Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the testimony that was shared. Thank you for John 15 and the truth of the passage. Thank you for the fact that, God, I am not working hard to produce the fruit. You are producing the fruit as I work hard to stay connected to you. Help our church to do this. I pray that there's any vines in this room that are not vitally connected to you, that they would trust Jesus as their Savior so that they can be connected. Thank you, Jesus, for producing fruit that honors God. Help there to be 60-fold, 100-fold fruit from this congregation as a result of us applying your word in our lives, living the truth, being in vital connection to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.